This week on Barbell Shrugged, we interview CEO of Onnit.com, spiritual experimentalist, human optimizer, and unconventional fitness junkie, Aubrey Marcus.
Hey, this is Rich Froning. You're listening to Barbell Shrugged. For the video version, go to barbellshrugged.com.
Welcome to Barbell Shrugged. I'm Mike Bletzer here with Doug Larson, and we're in Austin, Texas for Paleo FX. And we have on the podcast with us today, Connor Moore. He's filling in for Chris Moore, so he's going to say he's in charge of dick jokes. And then we have Aubrey Marcus from Onnit, CEO of Onnit.com. You guys sell supplements and equipment, and you guys are kind of, from what I understand, kind of focused on MMA and stuff like that to a degree.
We're definitely strongly affiliated. I don't know if we're focused on it, but it's a deep tie.
Yeah, you guys have like a lifestyle brand that's really powerful. It's very impressive to me.
Thank you. Appreciate that.
You guys put out a lot of really cool designs and graphics and things that catch my eye. You have a podcast where you talk about things that really interest me, and so I just find it really fascinating. I think you've got a really cool company going on. And we got to train with you at Onnit today, and it was
loosely. I mean,
awesome.
You ducked out of some of the work. you were there doing your own, but I got to torture the rest of the guys.
Any more than like 5 reps, you know, for me on anything is cardio, and you know, no way.
I'm out.
Yeah. So how did you get into the Onnit? I mean, how did that begin?
You know, it begun from early on in my life. I got used to the paradigm of doing things that would affect my performance. So my stepmother was a naturopathic doctor. And so during a game day, I was a basketball player. Game day, I'd have a stack of supplements and a certain meal that I would have to eat. And that would affect my performance. And I got to see what different things did. Oh, maybe bee pollen this time or whatever it was. I got to used to that paradigm. And then on test day for, you know, cognitive enhancement, I'd have another stack of supplements. And I got to see how that helped me perform. So that kind
You're
of
like
idea.
Like a biohacker.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
I was like the experiment is really what it was. Sometimes it went terribly bad. I was like, what the fuck did you give me? That was awful. I was in the bathroom. It was terrible. It's like, oh, yeah, I was just trying something out. We'll go back to the old stuff.
You're like fearless with that shit.
Yeah, I wasn't that really that stressed about it. But because most of the time it worked. It's just a few occasional brilliant failures in what was going on.
That's pretty lucky. Most kids don't have access to a naturopath, or at least like didn't when Agreed. I was growing up. I feel like that's like a... Maybe not a more recent development, but I think it's like, I feel like it's more mainstream in the last 5 or 10 years.
Yeah. Yeah. She was one of the pioneers of that kind of field and worked with a lot of Pat Riley's teams. So Lakers in the '80s, Knicks in the '90s, Heat, you know, up to currently. And so she was used to dealing with athletes and pretty cutting edge with that. So yeah, certainly an advantage. So I always had that in my head. I went off on this path to form a marketing company and then really wanted to get back to my passion, which was improving human performance and doing that through nutrition, supplementation, and, you know, fitness regimes.
Yeah, so some of the...
How did the ape or the gorilla become Yale's mascot?
Oh, yeah.
I want to hear the story.
I got to give a little credit to my partner, Joe Rogan, for that one, because he's really into embracing, you know, the monkey side of who we are. And, you know, that's part of what we are. We're a primate at the very body core. Mm-hmm. You know, there's a consciousness. There's other things that are involved, a mind, an ego, whatever you want to call it. But our animal self is a monkey. And I think embracing that and doing movements and treating the monkey like a monkey likes to be treated is an important part of our philosophy. And of course, like the paleo guys here at this conference we're at.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I was heard Joe talking about the human chimp.
Yeah, that's it. We're just chimps. We pretend we're so much different, but really we're pretty much the same.
Yeah.
Hey, you guys have some equipment that's novel to CrossFitters, and I think this is it's something that CrossFitters could start using in their training to change things up. Mm-hmm. Things like maces, clubs, battle ropes.
Yeah, these things all developed. They're ancient techniques. They actually developed in 12th century Persia when the warriors and the wrestling elite realized that, all right, I'm going to be swinging this weapon in battle, and this weapon weighs 3 to 5 pounds. How do I get stronger at doing that? Well, maybe let's make the weapon look like it's 20, 25 pounds, you know? And then you're overtraining for those movements so that you're stronger when you grab something lighter, you're able to use it. And they pioneered some of the core movements and that
strength training for warriors.
Exactly. And it's super functional for that kind of, for combat and just for everyday life, helping get the body ready to daily, you know, for daily battle, I guess you could say. You
know? Yeah, just like a baseball player would swing an extra heavy bat right before it gets up to bat, and then exactly. The regular bat feels super light. They would do that back in the day, 1,000 years ago, before battle.
Doing that, and then it's also a conditioning. You know, baseball, that's more of like a timing and getting the muscles loose. You can use the maces and the clubs for that, but it's also, if you stick with it long enough, you know, and use the right techniques, it's a really strong conditioning kind of implement.
So a mace, if no one's seen it before, it's kind of like a kettlebell on the end of a big stick.
Yeah,
it's which is what my wife calls it.
She
calls
them kettle sticks.
His wife got in last night and was following us on Instagram. She was like, "What's up with the kettlebell sticks?" And I was like, "What are we talking about? What's like a kettlebell?" And then Doug put it together really quick, and I was like, "Oh, the mace."
It's surprisingly, like, for everyone that doesn't know what it is, it's probably like, "Oh, okay, I can see that now." It's a big long metal pole with a kettlebell at the end of it.
Yeah.
Just a big heavy ball. And so you're using it kind of like you use it just like a sledgehammer or like a big shovel or any other random implement.
Man work.
Yeah.
Or woman work, whatever. But,
I mean, Marcy went to work with it today.
Lots of different really functional movements that'll, you know, when you get locked into certain, especially linear movements, you can get really strong. And I think that's one thing that CrossFit's really good at. Really strong, really conditioned. But, you know, working these other odd movements and shapes, you know, without swinging something around your head, you're not going to get the full shoulder girdle, all those muscles under the armpits. Even when you're doing pull-ups and things like that, you're really taxing your lats, you're taxing your rhomboids, biceps, you're hitting the big groups. All those little tiny muscles that have to adjust when this weight is swinging around, strengthening those is going to help with injury prevention and help with, you know, overall strength.
Yeah, even though I train every day, I feel like even after like the short session that you put me and Connor and a few other people through, like especially in my torso, especially like my sides and like in rotation, I'm going to be feeling that tomorrow. Like I'm going to be more sore than I am normally, because normally I don't do a lot of rotation or anti-rotation work unless I specifically program it. But doing the stuff we were doing this morning with the maces and the clubs, it's hard not to have all these muscles firing, especially on the sides.
Yeah. You're going
to
be so ripped tomorrow when you wake up.
I'm going to be shredded. My F-me lines right here are going to look extra good.
Oh, you're so lucky, Marcy.
Is that the technical name for that?
Fuck me lines?
Yeah.
That's what they are.
That's what the girls call them. I had no idea that was what they were calling. And,
look at Marcy. She's like, yep, that's what they're called.
And then, she's blushing over there. I like
that. That's why I never get late. I don't have any. Oh man, I'm missing out.
You're too fat, Connor.
Now you know the secret.
You just need a low ride in the front, you know? People try to do that in the back, they got it all wrong.
I know.
You got to sag in the front, keep it high in the back.
There you go.
It's summertime now, so I'll pursue
get those
that
loose board shorts, you know?
Yeah, exactly. You got to get the loose board shorts is where it's at, for sure.
You got the long torso, I feel like your shirt will ride extra high and the girls can really see that.
Yeah, that happens.
Or just cut off, like, you know, make it a cutoff shirt.
It's awesome. We don't have to wear shirts or anything around here. Yeah, we just cruise around.
Could you do a fishnet when it starts getting colder? You know, you got to wear something.
That's not Austin. That's San Francisco. It's
just different. Yeah, we just went to the Castro District real quick.
All right, so you got maces, you got clubs. What's the difference between those two?
Well, a mace is a much longer pole, and it's used in some slightly different movements. It's you know, some of the things that you can mimic are like the sledgehammer movement, like a shoveling dirt movement, and some other, you know, the farther you get away from that weight at the end, the harder it's going to be. So you can really kind of maneuver it that way. The clubs are great for, you know, similar movements in some aspects, but a lot of pullover movements, especially the heavy clubs. And then if you go to the lighter clubs, a lot of really good joint mobility movements.
Oh, yeah, testing our coordination yesterday.
Yeah, like working different, you know, different patterns and different figure eights and things with the clubs. And then with the heavy ones, a lot of heavier pullover kind of working the shoulder girdle and things like that. But there's so much stuff. I mean, I took you guys through 20 different rounds of the mace and club. You know, we could have gone on and done something different for the next, you know, 2 hours if we wanted to. It's just really versatile once you get into it.
So the clubs kind of look like big, heavy bowling pins almost.
Yeah,
right?
Exactly.
And the ones that we were using between 25 and 35 pounds, something like that.
You got a 45.
You got a 45?
Put it, Connor. You're
enormous, so it's okay.
I saw that beast walking through the door, and I knew I had to give him the 45.
I got something for this son of a bitch.
I'm going to make another one that's even heavier.
Let's do it. Yeah, we were looking at Connor swinging the mace, and we're like, man, you like... Was it we were saying if you were in a video game character or something like that, that would be like the weapon of choice for your body type?
I think we're referencing Game of Thrones.
Game of Thrones.
If I was in that world, whatever world that is.
Dothraki, for sure.
Oh, dude, that would be great. Khaleesi, though, she's got it going on.
She's banging.
Yeah.
She has dragons. That's a plus.
Yes, always.
I heard that movie, that show is like titties and dragons.
I just haven't watched it. I can't seem to find time to fit Titties and Dragons into my schedule. We'll get you to watch a show. If somebody says Titties and Dragons, I'm like, okay, where? What do I got to do? Okay, cancel my work. All right,
we're there. I was gonna watch it, and then there's some type of barrier that popped up, and I forget what happened. I'm easily distracted, even from Titties and Dragons. I mean, I may have gotten, don't ever ask me for a film recommendation.
I got nothing for you. Mike,
I might have gotten distracted by like real titties or something. That might have been what happened. Uh-huh. Like in life type life situation. Life titties.
You're married, my friend.
Well, that's what might have distracted.
Distracted by their wife's titties anymore. I mean, I'm sure your wife is beautiful. Everybody else would probably be distracted by your wife's titties.
All right, so like if we back to the subject at hand here. All right, so when I look at these maces and clubs and stuff like that, it's you know, I could probably think of like three exercises to do, but you put together some DVDs.
Yeah, put together a full DVD.
So if you buy these things from like from your company, you're not going to just be like, all right, I'm just going to.
Yeah, what do I do?
Yeah, hit myself in the head with them.
The
mostly.
DVD, I'll throw out the gauntlet. That DVD is hard. If you do that front to back, that is serious work, especially if you go up in the weights, you know, at least 15. But if you're working with a 20 or 25, it's serious work.
So you're not just teaching movements on the DVDs. There's like a workout plan that you follow.
You follow along. So it's like six workout vignettes, you know, like each one kind of focusing on a different theme. You know, one is like working on the arms called Arm Yourself. And then there's Bad to the Core and different kind of little workouts that I named that are really going to specialize on that. But through the whole spectrum of all six, you're going to get a full kind of total body conditioning workout.
Next time we name some of our stuff, I'm gonna give you a call. You got way cooler names than we have.
Well, you said you had a marketing company at one point. So you know how to name shit.
That's one thing you get out of a marketing company. It's like, how do I name this?
You also have the battle ropes, and that's something that like you don't see in CrossFit gyms very often. But Chris Moore has some in his garage. I know when we go train over at his house, we love using those.
Yeah, that's an implement that's incredibly valuable. I mean, and again, you said, you know, our affiliation with MMA, you know, we're partners with Joe Rogan, who's a commentator and friends with all the guys. And so naturally it really took off in the MMA world because they're extremely focused on what's going to be absolutely functional in combat, you know, and in combat, it's an ever changing, uneven world. You never know what angle you're going to be at, where someone's going to come from. Very rarely are you in a kind of linear position to apply force directly. So they're always working, you know, different aspects. So they've really taken to all the methodologies, and the rope is one of those that, you know, if you're, let's say you've been, you know, running 10 miles and getting your cardio up that way, how are you going to blast your upper body conditioning, you know, effectively without using your legs? You know, it's sometimes challenging. You can do a bunch of push-ups, but that doesn't really get it. Mm-hmm. But, you know, adding those Tabata protocol, like a 20 seconds of work, 10 seconds of rest, 30 seconds on, 20 seconds out, whatever you want to do, adding those in really mimics that kind of flurry that they would see in the cage and gets that peak heart rate up. Mm-hmm. And a way to do that without taxing the legs further if those need to get a rest. So
yeah, especially really if you guys cool. have to throw a lot of punches really fast and then might try to put on a choke and squeeze really hard, get really fatigued, and then have to stand back up and throw punches really fast again. Yep. Like being able to just sit there and like totally wear out your arms full speed with something that's super, super easy to do, easy to learn, and is very safe. I think this is something that any MMA gym or any MMA fighter that doesn't have any fitness or strength and conditioning background can pick up in seconds.
No doubt. And that's another great thing about the ropes is ropes are almost, you know, extremely difficult to injure yourself while doing the ropes. It's such a fluid movement.
I think I can
so
figure out
natural.
How to do that.
Is that a challenge?
it's a challenge. Yeah, I can do it. I've gotten hurt just doing anything.
It's like I sprained my ankle doing battle ropes.
How?
What did you do?
Yeah. I stepped on the rope. Oh.
Okay. I can stand on an endo board and battle rope at the same time. Have you done that?
Oh, fuck yeah, I've done that. There's these boards called cyboards. I didn't even break them out. These boards called cyboards, which is like a, instead of the endo board, which is a roller and it just rolls one direction, this is a ball inside a rail system. So it's full 360 degrees and you're just balancing on the point of the ball.
All right.
It's gangster. Super hard. When I've discovered that because I was going over to Johnny Hendricks' gym, who's now the 170-pound champ.
Yeah.
And I went over to Dallas, and he goes to meet me, and he's on this fucking board with a dip can in his hand. He's like, hey, I'll bring it in. Good to meet you. You know? Spitting into this. I'm like, what the hell are you doing, Johnny? He's like, oh, a cyborg. You should try it. And I get on. I'm like, what the fuck? He has a dip can? You know, just all cocky.
He's just being all casual.
So after that, I was like, all right, I got to master this and learn it. So we've had it around the office, but it's fairly deadly. But I can do, I can now hop on there and do some battle ropes on there. I'm working on doing some of the mace stuff on there, but that, that's pretty tricky.
Yeah. Man, that's a, that sounds crazy.
Yeah.
I want to try it now.
So what else did we use today? We used the steel bells. Those are kind of cool.
Those
are cool. We use this for a lot of slams.
Slam, yeah, that full slam circuit that I put you guys through.
Mm-hmm. So it's basically just like a, kind of like maybe a neoprene material that has, that's kind of flat like a disc and has a bunch of steel balls
shot.
In it, steel shot in it. And you can just pick it up and slam it as hard as you can, kind of like you would a med ball.
Right.
It doesn't bounce at all.
Doesn't bounce at all.
It dies on impact.
And it works, you know, really helps to work your grip. You know, a lot, of, again, going back to that kind of combat athlete. When you're working with kind of gi training as well, like jiu-jitsu gi training, a lot of that kind of grip strength and, or rock climbers, the grip strength in your fingers and your hands and everything like that, it's going to really help work that as well as, you know, a natural shift in the weight on, that you don't really see in the med balls. And you can you can jack the weights up too. I mean, the weights go up to like 100 pounds on that. So really working those slams with that is pretty cool implement as well.
Yes, we're kind of talking about all the stuff that's unique to you guys that we wouldn't find in a bunch of CrossFit gyms, which most of our listeners are CrossFit competitors or people that train in CrossFit. So, I mean, you guys have all the regular stuff too. You got kettlebells, and do you guys sell barbells? No barbells?
No, we haven't gotten into that yet. It's the logistics of moving those really long fucking things is, and you know, we don't really have a necessarily a competitive edge on anything. I mean, Rogue's doing a great job selling that, and you know, they got these huge warehouses moving that. Why would they? I mean, we'd consider it because we certainly use it in the gym. I mean, you saw our gym.
Yeah.
But there's no real reason for us to be entering that space.
Yeah, you're just selling the things that are effective, but that are hard to find otherwise.
Yeah, exactly.
Actually, speaking of unique stuff, you guys' kettlebells are pretty fucking cool.
Yeah.
Like, you guys have, like, the gorilla face kettlebell, which is probably my favorite, and then you have like, demons.
Orangutan.
You got a zombie.
And then you got zombies. So
I want those on my mantle at my house.
Yeah, there's people buying them who never use them and lift them at all, for sure.
I would rather, like, beat up another one, but that would be for show, for sure.
So the monkey on the kettlebell is, or the primate on the kettlebell is based on the size of the primate, right?
Right.
They're smaller, and the gorilla is obviously
we got like
tupu.
A howler monkey that's 18 pounds, and then a chimp that's 36, and then the orangutan 54, and the gorilla 72.
Right on.
Genius.
Oh, shit.
And then we're coming out with a Bigfoot that's going to be 90 pounds. Sasquatch.
You need to get a big Sasquatch. One that's got a Joe Rogan's face on
it. Well, we were going to do a Joey Diaz. We're going to do a Joey Diaz 100 pounder. We put it out for April Fools. We're like, coming next, the Joey Diaz hundo. That's right, cocksuckers. And ever since then, we get hit up all the time. Like, when's the hundo coming out? And then I got a call from Joey. He's like, man, people keep hitting me up about the hundo. We got to do this, motherfucker. We got to do this. And I was like, okay.
Yeah, that's
right,
just like Joey Diaz.
Yeah.
If you don't know who Joey Diaz is, go on YouTube and just search the Church of What's Happening Now and watch that guy go.
Yeah, he goes
that
off.
That guy is insane.
He's hilarious. You know, tons of YouTube of him just doing rants and stuff. He's one of the funniest humans on the planet.
Yeah. All right, so Chris Moore and I got to go on one of your podcasts. So you have a couple podcasts.
Two,
One of them is On Its Podcast, and that's what we got to go on yesterday. That was a lot of fun.
Yep.
And what episode is that, if people want to look it up? Do you know off
the
top of your
head? The latest one. That's it's the latest one. Yeah, I don't know. Not really.
You'll be able to find it fairly easy.
Yeah, for sure.
Y'all names are in the title.
Yeah. So to be honest, I don't think you've listened to any of our podcasts. I don't think we've listened to a lot of your podcasts. What is it you're most passionate about that you like to talk about on your podcast?
Well, you know, there's kind of a slight dividing line between On It and, you know, the Warrior Poet Project, which is my, you know, personal podcast. On the On It, I'm really talking about human performance, pushing through your limits, any kind of fitness, nutrition, or just people's life story, how they've been able to achieve what they've been able to achieve.
Yeah.
And then on the Warrior Poet podcast, we really go deeper into the philosophical and spiritual aspects of things, what makes people who they are, how to live, you know, the best, most efficient and happiest life you can. So we kind of divide that, and because generally on the Warrior Poet Project, we'll get into things like ayahuasca and the different psychedelic tools and medicines that I've used personally to help me in my life. And we kind of keep that separate from the On It protocol. It's not to scare the people who are a little sheltered.
Yeah, I can see that being the case.
Yeah.
So what are you, what is it that you're most passionate about? Like what drives you to, with On It, and then what drives you to let people know about what's happening with the Warrior Poet?
You know, I think one of the main life purposes that, that I have and what really fulfills me the most is, you know, we have an amazing opportunity on a brilliant, beautiful fucking planet. You know, we got a great machine that we're driving around in our body. We have a great opportunities to explore this world and have incredible interactions. And so often that's, you know, undervalued and squandered, and people don't really get to maximize this, you know, brief chance we have, this blooming of the flower of life that we get to experience. And so really what I try to do is, you know, help people with the tools and the information to empower themselves to, you know, get better, live happier, and find peace, find happiness, find joy, find love, whatever they can do to make this experience better. And on it does that on the physical and mental performance side. And then on my other side, it's more about cultivating the spiritual side, because I think getting all of that in tune, you know, and even when I say spiritual side, it even just, you know, that really just boils down to finding the stillness, you know, how you can find the stillness where everything else drops away and you can, you know, kind of lock into that universal force that surrounds us. And so combining all that, I think, you know, can really assist people in, you know, living a life that's worth living.
Yeah. So you, so Ani has some, you know, you talked about mental and spiritual, and I want to get to the spiritual stuff, definitely. But first I want to talk about, you do have some supplements, for the mental side of things, things like New Mood and Alpha Brain. Can you tell us a little bit about those?
Yeah, sure. I mean,
they're different. I mean, they have different ingredients than what you find in other companies.
So a lot of people, when they work on, you know, things like the brain, they start, you know, generally right off the bat, they're putting caffeine in there, you know, which is kind of a trick that makes you think that you're more alert. I mean, it's what it's really doing is it's, you know, causing your adrenal glands to release some, you know, some extra hormones, giving you a little bit of energy, but that's going to end up falling off, and it's going to end up being kind of one of those things that over time is going to wear out your body if you continue to do it. And then I like caffeine. I drink coffee and stuff like that too. Yeah. I'm not, but really the most efficient way to do that is to directly affect the neurotransmitters themselves. And that's kind of what the fuel is for the brain directly. So we have one product, Alpha Brain, that's really focused on one of the neurotransmitters, acetylcholine. And that's what's responsible for mental speed, focus, sharpness, mental acuity. And, you know, we put in some natural ingredients, some herbs, Huperzia serrata, which is an acetylcholine esterase inhibitor, something that prevents the breakdown of acetylcholine, and then the raw precursors of acetylcholine, which is GPC choline. And we put those in, and then it just kind of gives your brain that fuel that it needs. And then we round out the formula, putting in some other nutrients that affect some of the other neurotransmitters, like the GABA system and the dopamine system, and also some neurospecific antioxidants and vasodilators. So more blood to your brain, fewer, you know, lower antioxidant burden, and the direct fuel itself in the acetylcholine. And put that all together, and it's been a really effective formula. You know, we just got some clinical trial results back, and it showed statistically significant improvement in a double-blind placebo-controlled study in executive cognitive function, verbal memory, a few key areas. We got a much bigger study coming out. So that product is, you know, kind of our flagship. And then on the other side of that, we have another product called New Mood that's designed to help facilitate, you know, restfulness and the serotonin system. And serotonin is what's responsible for mood, happiness, that feeling of kind of contentment. And we add that with a bunch of, you know, anxiolytic, relaxing herbs like valerian, chamomile, Sisyphus, and a few different other things. So you have that kind of when you want to be switched on formula with the Alpha Brain, and then when you're ready to kind of chill out formula in the New Mood and boost your serotonin.
I took Alpha Brain for the first time, man, I think it was last summer, and I noticed that I could change gears faster. So normally I'm slow, and you know, if I get distracted from a project, it takes me, you know, a good 10 minutes to get back on a project.
Yep.
When I was taking that stuff, I noticed that I could change gears a lot faster. I might get distracted, but then when I refocus, it came back a lot faster.
Sure.
So I'd be interested to see what comes back on the studies you guys are doing.
Yeah. We got one good study in the books, and hopefully the bigger one will just confirm what we've seen. You know, they call that, you know, one of the names for that is synaptic plasticity. It's your ability for your synapses to, you know, kind of connect and literally kind of mesh together so that the connection is even stronger. And, you know, a lot of the compounds in there can help enhance that. And so that's, you know, the ability to shift you know, back and forth, recall things. You know, your brain is an energy system of neurons that are, you know, transmitting information back and forth. And the better those connections are, you know, it's like using, you know, platinum wire versus some, you know, other crappy conductor, you know. I mean, it's just going to be a lot clearer, a lot crisper when you're getting that signal.
So cool. Given that acetylcholine is also one of the number one neurotransmitters that influences muscular contractions, have you guys looked into any performance effects of Alpha Brain?
Well, we haven't looked into clinical trial format for any of that, but you know, we're working with so many professional athletes now, from fighters to football players to hockey players, and all of them say the same thing, that their reaction time, even some sprinters. We actually had a sprint coach who started using it on sprinters, and it's very difficult to improve reaction time off the line. It's like one of those things in sprinting, they're like, well, you can't coach reaction time. Well, you might be able to supplement for it. And so we're looking to kind of do that. We're just trying to find the right people to study that. But certainly anecdotally, the effect is there. You know, something strong. The ability to recognize a situation and move. Again, you know, if the conductor is moving quicker and easier through your brain, that signal is going to transfer all the way to your muscles even faster. So
if it's helping a sprinter get out of the blocks faster, they hear the sound of the gun and then they think, fuck, I need to go. And then they actually go. If it's making that process happen faster, then you could potentially say, like, maybe a boxer MMA fighter like sees a punch coming and then is he able to react to that a little bit quicker and can get out of the way, just because, not because he actually is moving faster, he just recognizes it sooner, and so he can start sooner to get out of the way.
Exactly. Yeah, we actually, one of our fighters, Tim Kennedy, who has a fight up, he's fighting Michael Bisping in a couple days on Wednesday, I think. I don't know when this is going to come out, so it might already happen. If that already happened, don't tell me what happened. I'm looking forward to it, everybody. But anyways, yeah, so he was, before his last fight, he was taking Alpha Brain, and he had a big fight for the troops, and he credits taking that and for hearing his corner, when his corner called out a certain combination, hearing his corner say something and him reacting and knocking the guy out. So, you know, he was like, look, maybe I would have been able to do this on my own, but I really think that Alpha Brain, you know, helped that process, because he just heard that come and then he just reacted and got a huge knockout and, you know, jumped up on the cage and did the thing that the fighters do. But
My experience with that, with Alpha Brain specifically, that's the first thing I took from Onnit, and that's been 3 months ago. But training CrossFit at high volume, it gets so monotonous and almost like doing 2,500 meter rows in a day, right? But I noticed I was able to.
Yeah, that sounds hellish.
That is what it is. It's part of it. It's part of being a 230-pound CrossFitter.
Yeah.
Welcome to my life. But being able to stay aware of where I'm at, and it was something like that that's so monotonous, and then being able to go transition into weightlifting, transition into swinging kettlebells, transition into gymnastics, and now even to the next level where we're training for regionals as a team, being able to kind of coordinate the team together, I've noticed just a huge increase in my ability to stay aware of my body and aware of where I'm at and how I'm, my output as an athlete in the CrossFit field. I think I'm the only one. Am I the only one that trains CrossFit full time?
Full time, yeah.
Well, no, I'm not a full time athlete. Whoa. Yeah. Doesn't do anything else, yeah, besides weightlifting and CrossFit. So, yeah.
In this circle, yeah.
Cool. Yeah, but it was a really unique experience. And it was honest, I didn't even notice it for 2 weeks. I'm like, man, I'm crushing training. What have I changed? And I really only changed one thing at a time.
Yeah.
I was like, holy shit, man, I was taking Alpha Brain. That's the only thing that really.
Nice.
You thought it was going to help you read better and stuff. And I learned how you're training better.
And I learned how to read in that 2 weeks
as
well.
Just made you a better monkey.
Yeah. Exactly.
He became literate and he can train harder.
Exactly. It was great. It's been a really cool experience, especially on the barbell. Right on. The barbell stuff has really been, I noticed. Because there's minute changes, right? When you're looking at hitting max lifts, and I'm doing a lot of that with the combine coming up. Mm-hmm. It's been super beneficial in just making small changes and noticing small changes that make a huge difference when it comes to awareness. 100%. Oh, yeah. It's been great.
Yeah. Let's take a break real quick. When you get back, I'd like to maybe touch on some of that spiritual stuff you were talking
about.
Let's
do it.
Yeah.
This is Andrea Ager, and you're listening to Barbell Shrug. For the video version, go to barbellshrug.com.
Barbell Shrug is brought to you by you. To learn more about how you can support the show, go to barbellshrug.com and sign up for the newsletter.
And we're back. And we just discovered we have 5 minutes left to do the show. So can you wrap up your ideology on spirituality in 3 minutes and then leave you a couple minutes to plug your stuff?
Well, yeah, for sure. I mean, I think the key to me in spirituality is that, you know, I really look at a human being in three parts. And I look at, you know, obviously the monkey, what's going to best benefit the monkey, and that's the body itself. And then I look at, you know, the mind. And the mind is generally something that can either be, it's great at solving puzzles, and it loves solving puzzles, and it's really good at that, but it's very difficult to shut that off. And oftentimes we identify with only the mind. We think that's all that we are. But to me, you know, in all the work I've done, I've really felt that there's a third part, and that's your kind of higher consciousness. What happens when the thinking process falls away? And that is really what spirituality is to me, is finding the stillness, however you want to do that, through meditation, through float tanks, through psychedelics, so that the mind can fall away, the body becomes inconsequential, and you can really tap into whatever that animating force of life is that makes us go, you know, whatever it is when our body drops and falls, whatever that is, that thing is that remains. And you know, to me, I've been on a path of, you know, using some of the traditional medicines that these indigenous cultures have used for thousands of years. And that's really helped me show me what I'm trying to attain in some of the other practices, which I do more regularly, like meditating and floating. And I actually think that's one thing that ties in very well, even here at the Paleo Conference, but nobody really wants to talk about it. You know, there's evidence of psilocybin use, you know, mushroom use, going back 40,000, 50,000 years to the cave paintings. Terence McKenna, of course, has the stoned ape theory, thinking that, you know, taking magic mushrooms, psilocybin mushrooms, has actually improved the and increased the speed of evolution of man from monkey to human. And I think there's, you know, there's some credible evidence to that that's even coming out now. I mean, studies showing neurogenesis from some of these psychedelics. And there's a lot there to be explored. And I think it's an intrinsic part of our past and our history and what makes us human. Unfortunately, it's been, you know, demonized and villainized. And only recently, with the allowance of scientific studies, like the study in Johns Hopkins, where they gave people a psilocybin experience and unequivocally, like over 80% said it was one of the top five best experiences of their life, you know, from palliative care at the end of life, these physicians giving people at the end of life a dose of psilocybin, and some of the top care physicians saying they accomplish more in 3 hours than they have in 3 years.
Is that, that's like accepting that they're going to die?
And it just accepting that all of this isn't the only thing that's there. You know, that just really kind of identifying that third force, that animating force, you know, that will persist. And, you know, I think there's been a lot of reasons that have swayed people away from that. And I think, you know, you have to look at some governmental controls and some religious ideas. But it is a part of who we are. And I think for me, the spirituality is just recognizing that and allowing that to flourish and being conscious of that. And once that's conscious, everything else can kind of line up. But you got to go do it for yourself. You know, you can't listen to anybody else talk to you about it.
One of the questions I get a lot of times is, you know, hey, I want to get started meditating. What's a good resource for me to tap into? And I think, you know, a lot of times there are instructors in certain cities that are really good. But there's most people don't have access to someone directly. Is there any resources that you recommend?
Yeah, you know, I would really try and find a float tank, because one of the things that I like about that is it's going to show you what you're going for. You know, otherwise, when you're meditating, you're just kind of doing it like, is this right? Am I doing it right? I don't know what the fuck, whatever.
Float tank almost forces you into a two-second explanation.
What is a float tank for everyone that doesn't know?
So a float tank is a sensory deprivation tank where you're lying in 900 pounds of salt water. So you float completely, and the water is the same temperature as your skin. It has no smell. It has no vision. It's completely dark and no sound as well. So your brain is constantly tuned to the different signals that's going on. Oh, that's a bird flying. Oh, I see the flags flapping. There's wind that's touching my face, and I can feel my feet planted into the earth. We've been standing for 40 minutes, so I'm starting to feel the muscles. You know, the muscles adapt to that. Mm-hmm. All of this signal is going on constantly, and the idea of the float tank is just to let that all fall away completely. And your body is just like, oh, shit, I don't have anything to compute now. And your mind's like, yeah, I'm done too. So the only thing that's left is that other thing, that consciousness that's allowed to come through. Mm-hmm. So I think doing something like that, there's other ways to do it. There's something called holotropic breathing or shamanic breathing, where you actually take in a bunch of oxygen, and that allows you to, you know, in that process, find a certain stillness. It also makes your hands go like that. It's really kind of odd talking to you. And then, of course, there's the medicines, and unfortunately, they're illegal here, but, you know, you can go down to Peru, or you go down to some of these places and work with the people who've been working with the medicines for thousands of years. I will say, as a caveat, though, you know, not all those people are good, and it's, you know, you got to make sure you do the research and talk to people who've been, and make sure you're going to see a real medicine carrier, not just someone trying to take advantage of, you know, psychedelic tourism, because that's certainly a risk. But it's the easiest thing to do is start here and, you know, go to a tank, do some breathing, and then, or just, you know, kind of learn about the meditation practice itself. Once you know what you're going for, then there's all kinds of ways to get there. You can focus on the breath coming in through your nostrils. You can focus on what's, you know, the images that are coming through your head. You can start a chant like transcendental meditation. You can do a chant, or you can just sit and find the stillness. So lots of different ways to do that.
Cool. Thanks for that.
Right on.
It's a great explanation. A good starting point. You can just probably Google float tank in your town.
Yep.
And hopefully, I mean, if you live in a big city, you'll find something. But you know, it might be worth, you know, driving a few hours to go find something like that. I've floated a couple times, and it's been fantastic. One of the best experiences I've ever had. So
it's good for the body too.
Oh yeah. Very relaxing. Yeah. Anything you want to promote right before we get off?
No, if you want to keep up with me, I'm at Warrior Poet US on Twitter and on Facebook, Warrior Poet US. Got a really active page there. My own podcast, Warrior Poet Project. And then, anything on the nutrition and fitness side, go to onnit.com, onnit.com.
We're episode 28, by the way.
Okay.
Yeah, and check out that podcast. That was a lot of fun.
Yeah, episode 28 with Chris Warren and me on your podcast.
Yeah, on the Onnit podcast.
Very cool. All right.
Thank you, my friends.
Appreciate it.
Later on, brother.
All right, later.